to the book of Exodus. And I'm going to invite you to stand with me to say together the words that are found in the commandment, part of this group of laws found in Exodus and Deuteronomy called the Ten Commandments. And this is the third commandment, which God gives to us as a sign of His relationship to us. Let's say this together. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses His name. And now you remain standing for the Gospel of Matthew. This is part of the Sermon on the Mount, a time when Jesus gathered His people together and preached to them and taught them on this mountainside. Again, you have heard it said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but fulfill to the Lord the vows you have made. But I tell you, do not swear an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is His footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. We all are figuring that out as we get older. All you need to say is simply yes or no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. Jesus is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please be seated, friends. Join me in prayer. God, I pray that your Holy Spirit will move mightily in this time, in this place, that every word that is spoken, every thought that I think, every action of my body is pleasing and glorifying unto you. May you and only you be praised and spoken about and glorified in this time. It is yours. In Jesus' name, amen. The third commandment, you shall not take the name, you might have heard it this way, of the Lord your God in vain. And that's a strange way of putting this commandment. It comes to us from the Old English, the Old King James, when they were writing that Bible in the 1600s. The way that they would say not to misuse God's name would to say, we're not going to take His name in vain. And oftentimes that gets translated this way. Don't say bad words. Don't use naughty words. Don't use words that are ugly or what we call swear words, four-letter words, words that are not to be spoken by good Christian people, right? That's how this commandment has been brought to us over the years. And it's a good idea. It's a good idea for our language to reflect that we are not like the world. We are called by God to be the light that shines in the world, the salt that gives the world its flavor. Not to use salty language, but to be the salt, to be the agent of change in the world. One of the ways we do that is the way that we use our tongues to express ourselves in ways that are appropriate and pleasing to God. That's a very good idea. It's a very good thing to do. But I don't think that on the mountaintop, with all of His assembled people, and even to us today, that the main purpose of this commandment is to tell us not to use bad words. I think there's something far more significant to this commandment than simply saying, you know, watch what you say. I think it goes deeper. I think it goes to the very heart of who God is. I think it goes to the very heart of who we are as God's people. And I think it gives us a glimpse of how great God is and how desperately in need of God's grace we are. Let me explain that. It would be wonderful if we didn't need God at all. In fact, it would be wonderful if we could be gods. Then we wouldn't need God anymore, and we could do whatever it is that we want to do, and no one could tell us otherwise. Doesn't that sound great? Ah, good church. But it did sound great to someone in Scripture who's found all the way back at the very beginning in Genesis. When this woman named Eve was in the Garden of Eden, and along comes a serpent who says, "Do you really need God to know good and bad? Do you really need God? Did God really say that you would die? You know, if you would eat from that tree over there, the tree that God told you not to eat from, if you would eat from that, you would be wise. In fact, you would be like God, knowing good and evil. You wouldn't need God anymore because you'd have all the answers within you." Doesn't that sound great, Eve? And Eve says, "Oh, yes, it does." And off she goes, and she takes that fruit, and this is good. And she gives it to Adam, and oh, that's so good for him too. And all of a sudden, they realize the great mistake they made. They thought too highly of themselves. They thought that they could be like God. This commandment reminds us not to misuse God's name, reminds us that God is above all things. God is above the idea that we can take God's name and use it for our own vanity. We can use it for our own purposes. We can use God's name to fulfill our own agendas, to make ourselves feel good about ourselves, oftentimes at the expense of other people. That's not what this command, or the commandment to not use bad language, that's good. But it doesn't get to the heart to remind us that we are creatures. We are people. Yes, we are made in God's image, but the scriptures remind us over and over again that we are dust. And when we pass away, we will return to those elements, back to the earth, back to dust. It's only by the grace of God that we have any hope of life after that. That's it. It's nothing inherent within ourselves that makes us live forever. If things go as nature intends, all of us will die. But God is above nature, and God can work supernaturally and give us hope where there is no hope, that there can be life after this life is finished, given to us, not earned by us, given to us by the grace of Jesus Christ. And he can give that to whomever he wants. He can give that to anybody in the world. He asks that we just receive it. Receive it by faith, and only by faith, not by any works that we do to make ourselves feel good about ourselves, but just receive like this what God has to give to us. We can't grab it. Adam and Eve tried to grab it, take it for themselves. We receive what God gives to us by faith, just accepting what God has to give to us. I wish there was a magic formula that I could give you to say, "Here it is." There isn't. It's even better than that. Just receive what God has to give you. If I go to your birthday party and I give you a present, you didn't do anything to earn that besides turn another year older. I want to give it to you because I love you. That's the grace of Jesus Christ. Nothing you do to earn it. Even avoiding bad words is not something we do to earn it. Just receive it. And there it is. It's ours. This commandment reminds us that God is in charge, and we are not. We have to do things God's way. We can't claim God's authority, God's power for ourselves. That means that we all end up at the foot of the cross. We all end up pleading for the mercy of Jesus Christ that comes through his own shed blood. And that's not very popular, because we would still, even in churches, want to do things our way. Beware of the church that says you don't need the cross. Beware of the church that says salvation is possible by some other means besides the shed blood of Jesus Christ. There is no other way. There is no other way. God is in charge. God has set forth, this is the way that I forgive your sins. Not by any work of what you do, but by the work that I do for you in Jesus Christ. That is our hope. Be wary of anybody who would say you don't need the cross, you don't need the blood, you don't need even Jesus. Be wary of those who change the old songs. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but being really good and being a good person and hoping for the best for everybody. Doesn't make a lot of sense, does it? Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in really being a nice person. And really just being good and not saying bad words. Doesn't make a lot of sense, does it? But more and more we're seeing that where we do away with the cross, because the cross reminds us that, oh, that was a really bad thing that happened to Jesus, and it makes me feel bad, and I don't want to think about it. It's designed to make you think about it. It's designed to remind you that you have one hope, and it is this person whose name is Jesus, who is the Son of God, whose blood is poured out, not trickled out a little bit, poured out as a sacrifice for your forgiveness of sins. We don't even like to talk about sins anymore, do we? Oh, just do your best. Just try your hardest. And when you do your best and you try your hardest, you will be no closer to salvation than you were when you started. Because it's entirely God's gift. Nothing that we do to earn it. That is the gift that the third commandment reminds us, that on our own, we would have it our own way, like Burger King says, and we would lead ourselves straight to death. Countless examples over and over again of folks who have tried to do it some other way, who have shipwrecked on the shores. There's one way. It's the way that God gives to us, Jesus Christ, our Lord. We don't take God's name in vain. We don't use it for our own personal glory. All of the glory of God's name is for God alone. And God gives to us this gift of salvation, this gift of glorious freedom, this gift of grace that changes us. Changes us. You hear that? It changes us. We should not look the same when Jesus Christ has a hold of our lives as we do before. And sometimes that needs to take place over and over and over again. Because sometimes we get really good and we're on the right path, and all of a sudden we shipwreck. We start to think that it's about us again. And we need Jesus to come walking along the waters of those shipwrecks and pluck us out of the water and lead us back to the right way, God's way. You cannot get there on your own. I wish I could. I wish I could just do it myself. But when I do that, who gets the glory? Me. I get the glory if I do it myself. You get the glory if you do it yourself. But knowing that it's Jesus who has done this for us, all of that vanity goes away. All of the idea that it's all about me melts away. And it becomes entirely about who God is and what God is doing, not only in the world, but in our individual lives. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. God loves you, and so do I. Amen.